Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
They're going to lose money. They know they're going to lose money. The way we like to say it is they're going to lose an arm. They just really prefer not to lose an arm and a leg.
Well, an arm and a leg. There was the banking perspective on the big foreclosure auction at the Javits Center over the weekend. Rick Weinberg, a spokesperson for the auction house that was running the event, it did not reflect the feeling of the protesters outside.
Banks get bailed out, people get thrown out.
Banks get bailed out,
people get thrown out.
Banks get bailed out, people get thrown out, they were saying. They think it should be a matter of shame that somebody buys somebody else's foreclosed on property. What do you think? We're going to open up the phones here. We're going to ask for people who have ever bought a foreclosed on home, people who have ever been foreclosed upon, anybody who was at the auction yesterday at the Javits Center in any role, 212-433-WNYC. Give us a call, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What do you think about auctions of foreclosed homes? And what do you think that the prices that we're seeing mean for property values around the New York State, around the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, tri-state area? 212-433-WNYC. Any real estate brokers listening right now? Anyone in real estate or anyone else who wants to call in on this? 212-433-WNYC. No shame, however, for Ron Grolemond, a real estate agency from New Jersey, despite what the protesters had to say. This was his first auction. His only disappointment was that he couldn't afford the house he had his eye on.
It seems like they're going higher. Right away, they went above where I was going to go. I was going to go as high as like maybe $75,000 because I know it needs at least $50,000 worth of work.
All right, Ron Grolemond from New Jersey, speaking in a piece that was reported by WNYC's Lisa Chow, who was at that auction. We're going to play the last minute or so of that piece now while your calls are coming in. She followed one particular home in East Flatbush that she was tracking. It was more than 400th on the block from what I gather from that piece. Let's listen to the last minute when it finally goes.
The bidding on the East Flatbush house started at $129,000, a far cry from its peak appraisal at $537,000. The house sells in exactly 1 minute and 30 seconds for $270,000.
Realistically, for that house, I was thinking probably I could go to $250,000.
O'Neill Lashley has the winning bid.
But I went a little over the budget right now. But it still worked out.
Lashley's 27. He works as a technician for National Grid, the electric company. He currently rents in East New York, and he's been saving to buy a house for himself. He's paying the full amount, all $270,000, in cash.
Right now, all I have to do and worry about is pay my bills. No mortgage, no nothing, so I know I can't go into foreclosure.
Not all the houses at the auction required 100% cash payments. You could get financing for most of the properties, but the auction did require bidders to pay 5% of a house's sale price on the spot. Lashley says he's only driven past the house. He'll get his first look inside in 30 days when he closes on the deal.
All right, WNYC's Lisa Chow. You can hear the whole report at WNYC.org. So this auction has been getting lots of headlines for the eye-poppingly low prices for some of the houses and, of course, the protests against the whole idea in this economic climate. Let's dig a little deeper, and we'll also take your calls. Have you ever bought a foreclosed home? Have you ever been foreclosed upon? How did you feel when someone else bought your home? How should we look at this in this economic climate? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we welcome as a guest Juan Santana. He's director of home ownership services at a group called the Neighborhood Housing Services of New York City. Juan, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on with us.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be invited to this show.
And we'll get your comments in just a minute. Let's talk first to Francisco in Queens, who's calling in, who I think bought a house yesterday at that auction. Francisco?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, you're on the air. So you were at the Javits Center?
Yes, I was.
What'd you buy?
About a couple. I'm an investor full-time, and I saw a couple of good opportunities that I picked up.
You want to tell us one, for example?
I picked up a brand-new construction in Newark, and I picked up one in Mount Vernon.
And just give us a sense of, as specifically as you're willing to be, what you paid and what you think these homes would have sold for a year ago.
Well, I know the one in Newark would have sold for about $450. I picked it up for $180.
Wow.
And Mount Vernon probably would have sold for $500 a year ago. And I also picked that one up for about the same price.
Wow. And what are you going to do with these? You're going to flip them?
I will fix them, I will rehab them, and I will rent them out. Or I might sell it to, you know, a family or somebody that might benefit them. What I feel is that nowadays you could buy a house, and for example, multifamily house, and pay a pretty low monthly amount because you could rent out the other apartment as opposed to paying a big amount for one apartment.
What kind of neighborhoods were these homes in Newark and Mount Vernon? Would you call them middle-class African-American neighborhoods?
The one in Newark is middle-class. It's more of a Portuguese area.
Uh-huh.
There are other areas in Newark that I buy, but that one happened to be with mostly Portuguese.
And
the one in Mount Vernon, honestly, I'm gonna go find out about the area right now. I'm not too familiar with the area, so the numbers made sense to me.
Really? Numbers made sense. So you were willing to buy it sight unseen or even neighborhood context unseen?
Correct.
How about that? And do you think that for all the alarmed listeners right now who are hearing the ratio that you gave us between what these homes were probably worth a year ago and what you bought them for yesterday, do you think that reflects real estate in general in our area or just particular pockets?
No, I think that most of the houses that I saw are in the lower areas, the areas with the most foreclosures. I didn't see a lot of good properties in good areas. And the ones that were listed originally that I was interested in seeing, they were pulled out, so meaning that for some reason, they didn't go through. So mostly the bad area houses, the ones with the most foreclosures, that's what I saw over there.
Do you have any ethical reservations about buying homes that were foreclosed on? You heard those protesters yesterday.
Right. Not really, because what I feel is that I'm fixing up a house that, one, is not performing, it's not paying taxes, it's an eyesore for the rest of the neighborhood. And, for example, if I do sell it, after this market, it maintains the property values of the houses surrounding this house. So it's kind of a plus for everybody.
It helps the neighborhood.
Right. Also, the people that I usually get to sell it to end up having renovate a house. They don't have to worry about fixing, and they pay a good amount. They're able to afford it this time around, being because it's so low.
Francisco, thanks a lot for calling us. Good luck with those houses.
Thank you, Brian.
And now to Juan Santana, Director of Home Ownership Services for the Neighborhood Housing Services of New York City. Juan, tell us about your group and what you do.
Well, Neighborhood Housing Services is a 25-year organization. We've been providing homeowners and home buyers assistance. We provide education, counseling, credit repairs, down payment assistance. And we actually were, you know, when we first started, we were doing renovating neighborhoods by providing low interest loan to homeowners in Queens and other parts of New York City so that they can fix the neighborhood. So we're more of a neighborhood improvement organization, although we focus especially on home buying and home retention. for the last couple of years, our concentration has been more on preventing foreclosure, making sure that those houses that we built and rebuilt and help people get into and renovate neighborhood and you know, make neighborhood of choices stay around. But as you can see, you know, things are getting really bad, and a lot of the homeowners that bought into these neighborhoods that before it was not even the neighborhood of desire for people to live in, you know, now are going back. They're going to go back to almost the same thing if we don't intervene fairly quickly.
Give me an example of a homeowner you've been able to help in the last few months in this climate.
Well, you know, we've been able to, last year we helped a lot of, we thought it was going to be a lot lower, but we did help a lot of folks, families, low and middle income family purchase home because we have several programs that can help them. We provide them with down payment assistance. We work with our customers from beginning to the end. It normally takes, you know, an average time about a year and a half to get them really ready through, you know, providing savings alternatives and providing them with down payment and credit repairs.
So do you find
it takes a little while, but they've been able to help homeowners. Now, the things that people are missing, and there's a lot of groups in New York City, including ACORN, that provide the same services that we provide in terms of preventing, you know, really teaching people how to buy a home. During the boom, and we all know what happened during the boom, a lot of people were getting into mortgages that you know, they should have not been getting into because they didn't have the tools to really prevent from understanding what they were getting into. But, you know, brokers were springing up about 3 or 4 years ago, springing up all over New York, especially in those neighborhoods that we've been working for a very long time.
Right. So you help homeowners ward off foreclosure. You also help people get ready to be homeowners.
Yes.
You heard Francisco's stories of the houses that he bought and why he thinks that it's ethically okay to buy up other people's foreclosed homes because it helps some of the folks that you may be involved with get newly renovated homes at affordable prices. Also, he says it helps stabilize these entire neighborhoods, neighborhoods often for working class people of color, if the homes just don't sit there and rot. Do you feel kind of on both sides of this ethical question, or where do you come down?
Well, his purchase was not made purchase for to occupy the property himself. I mean, he may purchase to speculate, to go into the rental or possibly selling the property.
Sounds like because he's going to.
That's what's happening right now is that, you know, the people that are going to the auctions are, for the most part, are not individuals that are going in to purchase a property that they're going to move into the property and renovate the property and improve the neighborhood. It's actually the people who are buying this property to rent it. And we know in New York City cases where, you know, rental units being rented to illegally. I mean, you have houses, 1 to 4 houses that have been rented to 6 and 7 families. You know, they make a basement, an illegal basement apartment. Fire hazard do happen, you know, a whole bunch of other things. Speculation is really bad for our neighborhoods because they bring in, you know, they don't use the property the way they should use it, you know, and eventually create much more problems in those neighborhoods than what they're saying they're going to bring.
Let's bring in Julio in the Bronx, who bought a foreclosed on home in Staten Island a while ago. Hi, Julio.
Good morning. I had bought this house 15 years ago because my sister was living in a very bad area of Brooklyn with 3 kids and a husband in an apartment that was really only 2 or 3 large rooms, and that includes a kitchen. So I said to her that I would put a down payment on a house if she could find one where she could afford to pay the monthly mortgage fees. So she went looking, and we had a great real estate agent who identified a semi-detached one-family home in an area of Staten Island that was very, very nice. It was a relatively new development. The house was only about 3 years old. Apparently, the couple that owned it, they had both lost their jobs, and they did one of those where in the middle of the night they just abandoned the house. So the bank had closed it, but what the bank had not done was turn off the water. So in the winter that followed, the pipes burst. There was a great deal of damage to the floors and the walls. So when the bank opened it up for inspection, they realized that they're going to have to sell it for a much less price than they had wanted.
So what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is look, and if you can find something that you can afford, even though it requires you're doing work to fix it up, do it, because the house originally sold for $175,000. I got it for $95,000. I put in $10,000 worth of repairs. The house is now worth easily over $300,000. Mm.
Julio, thanks a lot. Good luck with your house. From our webpage, Michael from Long Island writes, if you cannot pay your mortgage, you really shouldn't be living there, and clearly the bank must sell the home. I understand that foreclosures are an unfortunate reality, but I don't think it's shameful. Kathy writes, I think the question isn't really whether buying up cheap foreclosed houses is right or wrong. Is foreclosing in anyone's interest or even economically efficient? Charles and Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Brian. I think going off of the comments about what it does for the neighborhood, I think people in homes who are going to live in the homes and not just speculate, they're paying property taxes, they're paying school taxes, and it's a benefit to the community. You know, you look at a city like Cleveland right now, which has a lot of abandoned homes, and that increases fire risk, that puts more pressure on local authorities, whereas this might be a way to salvage some neighborhoods that are being hit hard right now.
Juan Santana, Director of Home Ownership Services at the Neighborhood Housing Services of New York City. How much do you agree or disagree with Charles?
Well, I disagree almost everything. I actually think that bankers, the city, the state, and the federal government really need to look into a systematic approach to really look into those families that got into this property. I mean, you know, we right now, we're all blaming the victims. I mean, you know, a lot of people, they get into property that they possibly could not have afford, but the lenders do have a responsibility as well, and the brokers have a responsibility as well to look into, you know, can this family really afford this property? Now, I know that a lot of people really get into situation that they could not afford the property, and it might have been very obvious in many cases. But I think brokers should have been able to say to a family that makes $30,000 and is purchasing a $600,000 home, say very clearly, I mean, obviously you cannot afford this payment, so why should I continue working with you and give you a mortgage for it to buy this property when in fact I know that you're not going to be able to pay it? So, so they're already in. You know, how do we look at preserving our neighborhoods with a different approach than, you know, wholesale options of properties in neighborhood
and
opening the door for speculation.
So before you go, on a policy level, what do you think of the Obama foreclosure relief plan?
Well, I think that in many ways it could help a lot of families, both in New York and throughout the country, because they're going to look at property like in New York. I mean, there are certain property that used to be valued at $500,000 and no longer valued at $500,000, but the homeowner still has a mortgage around the $500,000. So they actually own their water. The program looks into possibilities of looking at homeowners on the water and intervening so that either the price come down by the lender or the government will put it the differences. So the approach, I think the approach is good. I think that, you know, we're going to see more wholesale options as today until, you know, they get rid of that big REO
property
that they currently have. But, you know, we need to start looking into a more systematic approach to, you know, meeting with these families and deciding, you know, what can they really afford and how can the bank and the state and the city work with the family to stay in their home. Obviously, there will be many families that, because of a very low income, they might not be able to stay. They shouldn't have gotten to the property anyway from the beginning. And we understand that. But there's a lot of family that got into property that they were duped into getting into a mortgage with an initial rate of 1%, 3%, and 4%, and with no clear explanation when this mortgage was going to adjust.
So for those people,
they could not afford.
Right, and I think that's who the Obama plan targets mostly for relief. If you can adjust the interest rates primarily, and sometimes the principal, but mostly the interest rates on loans like that, you can keep a lot of people in their homes. And we have to leave it there for now. Juan Santana, Director of Home Ownership Services at the Neighborhood Housing Services of New York City. Thanks so much for coming on with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the focus shifts to Washington in a minute.